This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. There is a gathering underway this weekend outside Los Angeles that sounds so California. But I am still new to this state, still charmed and intrigued by its ways. So when I heard about the gathering, I wanted to go. A couple of hours east of the city, the dry, passive landscape suddenly erupts with ego into the San Bernardino Mountains, beautiful and high. Lots of people like to come to places like Alpine Meadows for gatherings, but not many like this one.
Good morning.
Dozens of men and women from Africa and Asia, from Europe and many parts of the Americas. This is a gathering of people whose beliefs must be as old as humankind. Tradition keepers, shamans, healers.
Good morning.
And if a lot of what they say doesn't seem to make sense today, remember, beliefs that survive a long, long time usually have some purpose.
I hear with my voice.
A Hopi elder from Arizona, who is called Grandma Connie.
If there's a group of us and there's a lot of medicine people around, somebody needs help very much, we'll lay them on the ground and everybody puts hands on, we all pray for that person. And it works.
Journalists are skeptics. They always want to know how things work. Among the healers, these questions don't go far. An African, a healer from Zimbabwe named Mandaza, watches me with Connie. At least I'm keeping him amused.
You know, this voice, my grandmother's voice, is powerful medicine. The way she speaks, she heals people. She's a great healer there.
He pauses to pour snuff from a gourd the size of a small orange. His silver bracelets make a small rattle.
Even the laughter, too, is a medicine, powerful medicine, my dear. Your smile, that one there. I use that to heal the people.
Mandaza is nearing elder status himself. He was a policeman. He was a devout Christian, reluctant for his faith to answer his strange healer dreams. But this gift, as healers call it, is not so easily refused. So now people come to him.
The first thing that I do is I appeal to ancestors and to my creator. Here is your son. Here is your daughter who is not feeling well. You are the greatest healer. Give me the power to heal your people. And I start doing the healing work.
And how do you do that healing work?
I may put my hand on your body, and the pain is transferred from your body into my body. I can feel it.
What do you do with that pain that has entered your body?
My ancestors and my spirits, after each day's work, they want me to go into the water, either in the ocean, a lake, or a river, and the pain disappears.
Ask for proof? There is no proof. There are many, many stories of healings. I talk to people who have seen them. I talk with a woman who believes she has been healed from an illness that should have killed her, until, among these believers, maybe my skepticism is beginning to feel like a sickness itself.
You have to maintain your skepticism.
Another journalist here, Rupert Isaacson, the author of a book, The Healing Land, about the bushmen of the Kalahari Desert in southern Africa. He has seen things there that he can't prove, he says, or explain either.
Even in the Kalahari, you have to maintain your skepticism. It's part of the contract, because yes, there's lots and lots of charlatans out there, and there are good healers that go bad, and there are bad healers that come good.
Rupert is married to Professor Kristen Neff of the University of Texas, Austin. Academics, like journalists, trained doubters. But science, she says, isn't so good at personal experience.
If you're looking at a beautiful mountain view, science is like a very accurate camera. But the photo can't tell you, what does it smell like? What does it feel like? What's the sunshine doing? There's something about first-hand experience which doesn't involve the rational mind necessarily. It's just through the senses.
That boy you hear playing a few yards off is Rupert and Kristen's son, Rowan, 2.5. She brought the boy here because he has an illness. He's autistic. Kristen is an assistant professor in the School of Educational Psychology, and she's brought Rowan here.
Just because I can't scientifically explain what might possibly be happening, nonetheless, I know from my experience that already he started new behaviors, said me in mind for the first time, and that just started yesterday.
Maybe the changes in Rowan would occur anyway. The boy is undergoing other, more orthodox treatments. And the Bushmen use Western medicine too, Rupert says. Sometimes it's easier to find an aspirin than a trance healer. These gatherings have been going on annually for several years. You can find a link to them at our website, npr.org. There are pictures there, too. People pay a few $100 to attend. The organizers say they are not breaking even. There are dozens of healers. They will see anyone. I expected tribal people. They're here. But there are city types as well. Richard Grossman from Santa Monica, for instance, who uses gourds and gongs for what he calls sound healings. I find a Dutch healer who lives in Britain now, Wouter Noorlander. People talk about his powers. He doesn't advertise himself, he says. People find him. He doesn't turn them away. He doesn't ask for money. But he cannot help everyone.
You talk to people who are indoctrinated by doctors, then you are dying, so these people are then dying, and they will accept nothing else. So you come up against a block, and that has to be removed before you can actually go on properly. You have to work for something you want. You have to put in an effort. If you wish to put in an effort, you usually get that.
To be healed?
To be healed, yes.
That British journalist, Rupert Isaacson, who cautioned me to remain skeptical, I'm not sure he even believes the things he's seen, never mind all that he's heard. But he, too, has asked a lot of questions.
When I've really put people on the spot and they finally come out with a base answer, it's love. Healing is simply channeling the life force, which is love, which everybody's got, in spades.
For doubters, I don't think that's going to help. I ask the Hopi elder, Grandma Connie, is it something she does or something she takes? She laughs at me.
Creator is the one that gives me that gift. Those that are healed by what I'm saying, and they decide they want to live the life that I'm living too, that's a gift, that's a healing for them too.
A healer from Peru offers a prayer song. Serious illness and suffering are questions too, and often baffling. How am I sick? How can I heal? Why is it happening? Why to me? When the most desperate people come to me, a healer said, people who have tried everything else, that's usually what they come down to. The last question, why me? When Western medicine doesn't know, maybe the healers do have some answers, and some of the time at least, people do begin to heal. Help on that report from my colleagues Christopher Johnson and Leo Del Aguila, and from Radio Expeditions, Carolyn Jensen and Julia Romano. This is Day to Day from NPR News.